everyone, to the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby. It is my goal that through this episode, not only you can see that the Bible is accessible to you, applicable to your life, but also attainable to live through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you enjoy this episode today as we are diving deep into the Word of God. And I pray that not only you're hearing this episode, but you also open up your heart so you can live by the truth and the Word of God, and your life can be changed the same way mine was. Welcome back to the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby. It's Monday, and it's been a couple weeks, and there is a good reason behind this, and it's story time. Okay, before we get started, and we recorded an episode with my good friend Charlie Banks, okay? We recorded it for about an hour. And it was a great conversation. We were getting into Psalm 119 like I did with Donovan last time. Problem was, is we forgot to hit record. So, me and Charlie had a good talk, but it's not a good podcast because we forgot to hit record. So that happened. So I try recording with my boy Antoine McGee, and the Friday that I was going to record with him, I forgot I had to give blood. So I was like, if you can just hang on a second, let me give blood. I get home after I give blood, and I do not feel well at all. I've never given blood before. And it apparently is hard on my body. So I didn't feel good that night. So I had two scheduled things I was going to record, and it did not work. So I was going to do it on my own. Well, there came this opportunity where I was able to preach on Sunday at my church. So I was working and grinding, trying to get every single thing perfect on that sermon. So I didn't have time to write down notes and put out an episode last Friday, which was in fact my birthday. So yeah, that's the big long story. But we had an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. I'm sorry, guys. I took that from the Avengers. I have not seen that trailer in probably 12 years. How in the world do I still remember that tagline? That's crazy. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. So I had this idea, and it was to take the live recording of me preaching this message in front of my home church and put it here today, just as a little appetizer. I'm going to try to post another episode this Friday, but just as a little appetizer, just as a little treat for those of you that have been, you know, hanging on and trying to, listen to a new episode that I haven't been able to put out yet for a multitude of different reasons. Long story short, more like short story long, here is what I preached on Sunday at my church. Well, good afternoon. So, usually I start off joking, but what I had prepared about a week ago just got a lot more heavy last night, and I'm gonna try to hold it together up here. Turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts. We're gonna be going through two different passages, reading them along. We'll be in Acts chapter 16, along with Matthew chapter 14. So if you want to, like, put a bookmark in Acts chapter 16, and we'll be flipping through those two. Before I get started, I want to read this out of the book of Psalms. It's Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. This is King David speaking. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's an amazing promise there. That David, he saw a lot. And he was once young, and he was old, and the righteous was never forsaken by God.
and a seed never begging bread. Now, I'm going to be looking through these two stories, and these two stories are very, very similar. Very similar. But they have something drastically different at the end. So we're going to begin in Acts 16. Turn in there. Acts 16. And there's three major similarities between these two stories. The first similarity is that they were all righteous before God. Everyone that was in this, these two stories were righteous before God. And there's three main people. That is John the Baptist and Paul and Silas. I'm going to move this down a little bit. And we can see, let me give you a little bit of backstory on Paul and Silas here. They were following God and they were preaching the gospel everywhere they went. And Paul had a vision from someone to go to Macedonia, begging him to go to Macedonia. So that's where they're at. And they go to Macedonia, and it's clear that these men were righteous before God. For one, they followed God. When God told them what to do, they went there. When they saw that there was a need in Macedonia, they went there. And you can also see in verse 16, and it came to pass, as we went out to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain in soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto thee the way of salvation." These men clearly had a reputation. And even the woman that was what we would call nowadays a fortune teller, a soothsayer, she could see that these men were men of God. These men were here to show them the gospel. And that shows that not only they were there because they were following God, but they had a reputation that they were righteous men. They carried themselves as righteous men. And then John the Baptist, we're not going to flip over there yet, but in Luke chapter 7, Jesus says there's none like John the Baptist. There's not a prophet born among women like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an amazing man. All three of these men were righteous before God. Now there's a second similarity. They were all following the Lord. We already saw that that Paul and Silas, they went because they were following God. They were doing what he said. They went to Macedonia. Not only that, but before they went to Macedonia, if you read, the Holy Spirit told them not to go preach in Asia. So they are close enough to God that they knew that, no, we're not supposed to go there. There's something else. There's something else we're missing. And when they had a vision to go to Macedonia, they went. They were following God. And now we'll turn back to Matthew. Keep your thumb in Acts. We'll turn to Matthew 14. We'll begin in verse 3. It says, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for ye to have her." Okay, so John was standing up for what was right. And Herod was a great ruler of the day. John did not actually have, if you look at it, like in our eyes, he didn't have any place to tell Herod what to do. But he looked at Herod and he said, "No, that's wrong." So these men were first righteous before God. They were following God. And lastly, all of these men were wrongly imprisoned. All of them were. Turn back over to Acts, if you would. Acts chapter 16. And in verse 18, we'll just continue reading down here. It says, "And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when the masters saw that the hopes of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them out into the marketplace to the rulers." And for sake of time, I'm not going to read everything here. But, okay, so Paul gets tired of this woman that has this evil spirit pestering them. So he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out." The spirit's removed, and the bosses, the people that would use her spirit to make a lot of money, they're upset with Paul. So they take Paul and Silas, and they bring him in front of the marketplace. And if you look at verse 22, it says, "And the multitude rose up against them together, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into a prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Okay, so Paul and Silas, they were following God, they were righteous before God, and they were wrongly imprisoned. They were doing what was right, and they were wrongly imprisoned. And we already saw how John was what went into prison because he told Herod that, hey, you can't have your brother's wife. These men were doing what was right, and they got imprisoned. But when you look back at Psalm 37:25, it says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken?" And we're going to see an amazing thing that happened. So since we're in Acts, we'll read Acts 16:25. And it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And they were suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's band was loose." Okay, so Paul and Silas, they get beat. They were doing the right thing, and they get beat. They get thrown in prison. And Paul and Silas, while they're in prison, they're singing to God. And they're singing his praises. And out of nowhere, an earthquake comes and bursts open the doors. And the chains that they had on them broke off. Man, you can see God's hand in that, right? They're doing what's right. And he said, and like it says in Psalm 37, it says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken." Paul and Silas were not forsaken. They praised God in the prison. They weren't forsaken. And not only that, they got let free, but they also, if you continue to read, the jailer gets saved. Man, God used this situation in an amazing way. God used it for his glory. God, you can see his hand in this. I have been young, but yet now I am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You can see that clearly with Paul and Silas. But those of you that know where I'm going with this, know that that's not the case for both of them. Turn with me. We're done in Acts. If you want to turn with me back to John. Or not, I'm sorry, not John. Matthew. Matthew 14. And we'll begin in verse 3 again. "For Herod laid hold on John and bound him and put him in the prison for his Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have him put to death, he feared the multitude, because he counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Wherefore he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask for. And she, being instructed before of her mother, said, Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for oath's sake, and them which sat at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison." What went wrong? John was righteous before God, just like Paul and Silas. John was doing what was right. John got wrongly imprisoned. And where these other men got to see the mighty hand of God, John got beheaded. What happened? Why does the Bible say that the righteous aren't forsaken? I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. What went wrong? And to make things even more heartbreaking, look in Luke. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7 in verse 18. "And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John calling unto him two disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And for sake of time, Jesus, so John sends and asks Jesus, "Hey, Are you him, or should we look for another? And if you read what Jesus says to him, it says, go your way and tell John the things which ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the gospel, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. That word offended means tripped up. It's almost like Jesus is saying, hey, John, hang in there. You're going to be blessed. Don't trip up. Keep fighting the good fight. You'll be blessed. Well, then why was John beheaded? What happened? It's easy to see God when the prisons shake and the doors fly open and the bands fall off. It's harder to see God when the tragedy befalls the righteous. So what happened? Clearly, if you keep reading it in Luke 7, like I said earlier, Jesus says that John, there was none born among women like him. So what happened? And haven't we all felt like that? And this is why it's really hard for me to come up here right now, because there's a lot of heartbreak. Haven't we all felt like that? God, I'm doing what's right. God, I'm being righteous. God, I'm following you. God, this situation, it feels like it's wrongly been placed. And God, tragedy has fallen on me. Where are you? Haven't we felt like that before? As humans, we've all felt like that. Well, there's 4 points I want you to get. And we'll see how. First, I'll just get into it. First, John was not forsaken. Look with me. Actually, you don't have to look with me. I'll just read it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know what Jesus is saying? When you see what we see, sometimes it can seem like, God, where are you in this situation? God has not forgotten about you. God did not forget about John. God did not forsake John. He was troubled, but he was not distressed. He was perplexed and not in despair. He was persecuted, but not forsaken. My God, our God, does not forsake people. And just because of the way that we see things go down, and it seems like, where is God in the situation? God has not forsaken us. So John was not forsaken. Number two, I put down the wrong paper. Number two, John was loved. Turn with me to Romans. We'll go to Romans. Chapter 8. And we'll begin in verse 35. It says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. John was troubled, but he was not forgotten. He was not forsaken, and he never stopped being loved by God. Just like when John sent out and asked, hey, are you him? Should I keep fighting for you, Jesus, or should I look for another? He says, blessed are ye that are not offended in me. He says, John, I love you. Stay in there. John was loved. And finally, or not finally, I'm sorry. Three is John was delivered. In Psalm 34, it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Not some of them, all of their troubles. And if you look down in verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And then in verse 22 of that same chapter, it says, the Lord redeemeth the souls of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Hey, John was delivered. John was. And to our mind, and to our eyes, when we see tragedy befall someone who was doing right, who was following God, it seems like, how was he delivered? But he was delivered. John, no doubt, cried unto God when they came into their prison and said they were going to behead him. Not a doubt in my mind. And John was delivered. He was. John, and there's a very important point I want to get, and this is the last point, so I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Come with me back to Romans 8. Finally, John was given glory. Romans chapter 8, and we'll be in verse 18. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy." They're not worthy. The problems you're facing now, the problems that the people we love are going through, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. John was troubled. John was not forsaken, though. John was loved. John was delivered. And John is getting glory. And John, even though he got beheaded, which is a terrible way to die, that can't even be compared with the glory revealed in him. We need, as Christians, we can get discouraging. We see the outcome. All we see is the things going on in our world. Hey, remember, this world is not our home. We need to remember that. And the problems that we're going through are not permanent. The problems that the people we love are going through are not permanent. We have a future. And guys, you have a Savior who has not forsaken you. You have a Savior who still loves you. You have a Savior who has already delivered you. Remember, God has already won the war we're fighting. So hang in there. You'll be delivered. And ultimately, at the end of our lives, we're going to be giving glory. Yeah, it's easy to see God's hand. When you see, like Paul and Silas, the doors shake open, the chains get loosed. But no matter what the outcome looks like, no matter what happens on this earth, remember, we're not forsaken. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that loves the people that have tragically passed on. We have a God who sees us. Just like Moses, God knew him by his name. God knows you by your name. So let go of your anger towards God, if you have any. Because God did not forsake anyone. God has not forsaken you. Let go of the anger. Let go of the hurt. Let go of all of this and let God show you how much he loves you. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Do you believe that tonight? Because God knows you. God knew John, and God ultimately wins. And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless.